When you no longer can look the other way, and you can no longer ignore what's happening, when it's finally time to stand up and be heard, you know it's time to bring the heat. This is The Heat with Megan Barth.
Hey there, Michigan. This is Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com, and every Saturday, you listen to The Heat on the Michigan Talk Network. This is my show. Thank you, Steve Gruber, for giving me the next hour that I can share with you all of the news stories that have transpired since last we talked last Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. We've got a lot to cover, so I'm going to just kind of jump right into it. But before I do, if you go over to ReaganBabe.com, you will see my daily news feed and daily news video. And I just want to kind of share with you what I've been sharing all week and what I've been talking about all week on a variety of radio shows across this country. Here are some of the headlines I've covered. Democrats double down on anti-Semitism, invite anti-Israel imam to give House invocation. Elizabeth Warren unveils five proposals which will cost taxpayers $129 trillion. The leftists lose. Chick-fil-A, now America's third largest restaurant chain. Despite objections from parents, protesters, California approves new sex ed guidelines for teachers. Oh, and wait till you hear what those are. Mitch McConnell should kill the Don Jr. subpoena. Mom of teenage girls who were harassed by Pennsylvania Democrat Rep. Brian Sims files criminal complaint. We might touch on that. Transgender student and a hater of Christians, a fan of Barack Obama, arrested for Highland Park school shooting. Now, that story dropped from the mainstream media real quick. Geez, I wonder why. And also, Michigan Democrat Rashida Tlaib pals around with Palestinian terrorist organizations. Another article, it's time to break up Facebook. So I'm going to use kind of this backdrop of what I've been posting over the last day or two to kind of start off this show. And I always say that politics is local. And politics is local, I believe, came from the guy that got his tingle up his leg, Chris Matthews, when he was working a campaign when he was just a young lad. But it's true. All politics is local. You better be paying attention to what's going on in your backyard, to the creeping Sharia and the creeping socialism that is happening in your communities, on your city councils, on your school boards, in your judiciary. Because all the noise coming out of D.C. I could talk about for hours, but it's kind of a deflection from your own backyard. You know, I follow Nevada politics. I live in Nevada, and we're about to go the way of California, because there was a socialist hijacking of our election in the midterms. We'll get it back, but we got to fight. And so I ask you, Michigan, how are you going to fight back against the anti-Semitic Rashida Tlaib that is now a mouthpiece for your state? Because she's got some very interesting pals that she chooses to do political events with, as well as perhaps some political business with. You know, all of the air right now is being sucked out of the room by the other anti-Semite from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar. And she's a perfect agitator. She reminds me much like Barack Obama when he was a community organizer in Chicago. That's what they do. These Marxists are paid to agitate and divide. That's what community organizers don't organize a community. They create chaos in order to make sure that community stays dependent on government and angry. Angry at anybody that doesn't look like them and who doesn't think like them and anyone who they perceive to pose a threat to get them out of their quote-unquote community organization. So here we have Rashida Tlaib, not as vocal as her sister, Ilhan Omar. But a wonderful report was created by the Daily Caller and the Daily Caller News Foundation by Peter Hassan, or Hassan, H-A-S-S-O-N. This was published just a few days ago on May 8th. And it's a pretty long article, and I'll try to get to the scoop as best as I can. But what you need to know what's going on in your own backyard. And then after I explain this, I want to know how you're going to fix it. Because she's going to have to be run out of office if she's not censured in Congress and continually protected by Nancy Pelosi, who, as I said before, hired an anti-Israel imam to give the invocation in our house. So according to the Daily Caller, the title is Inside the Ties Between Anti-Israel BDS Groups and Palestinian Terror Organizations. To summarize, several groups active in the BDS movement have ties to Palestinian terrorist organizations, an investigation by the Daily Caller News Foundation found. BDS groups have coordinated with terrorist groups and promoted their leaders, according to the investigation. Leaders of the group Samidun, and I might pronounce that wrong as well, it's S-A-M-I-D-O-U-N, Samidun, whose U.S. coordinator recently met with Rashida Tlaib, are members of the terrorist group Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the PFLP. So several groups in the anti-Israel boycott, divest, and sanction movement, that's BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction movement, and that means they want to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. So several groups in the BDS movement operating in the United States have ties to Palestinian groups on the U.S. State Department's list of designated terrorist organizations. The BDS movement aims to politically and economically isolate Israel at the international level in order to advance Palestinian political objectives. Now you have to ask yourself, what exactly are the Palestinian political objectives since their leaders are Hamas? You think it's to wipe Israel off the face of the map? Are they ever going to stop raising their children to become martyrs? As we witnessed that video that came out of a Philadelphia school run by another Palestinian terrorist organization that were training young children, likely American citizens, if they were born here, to kill the infidel? What exactly is the Palestinian political objective? I digress. Ties between BDS organizations operating in the U.S. and Palestinian terror groups include BDS leaders coordinating with the PFLP, officials in BDS groups whipping up public support for terrorists, and a U.S. nonprofit reportedly facilitating tax-exempt donations to a Palestinian coalition that includes multiple terrorist organizations operating right under our noses. Samidun is a pro-BDS Palestinian activist group operating internationally, including within the U.S. The group has extensive ties with the PFLP, the investigation found. The PFLP has been on the State Department's list of foreign terrorist organizations since 1997, and its members have claimed responsibility for two different Jerusalem terrorist attacks in the last 5 years. Both Samidun's international coordinator, Charlotte Cates, and its European coordinator, Mohammed Khatib, are PFLP members and have represented the terrorist group abroad. The Palestinian Information Center, a Hamas-linked news agency, also identified Khatib as a PFLP spokesman. Samidun events have regularly featured the PFLP's flag, and the activist group's campaigns often overlap with the PFLP's interest. Samidun celebrated the PFLP's 50th anniversary in December 17 with a rally in New York City that featured a videotaped message from Leila Khalid, a PFLP official who hijacked a plane in 1969. Khalid and her fellow hijacker reportedly believed the Israel ambassador to the U.S. was on board. Now, I'm going to dig into this story a little bit more. You're just going to have to wait with me through this break because it all ties back to your mouthpiece in Michigan, the anti-Semite representative, Rashida Tlaib. This is Megan Barth with The Heat. You're listening to the Michigan Talk Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Heat with Megan Barth on the Michigan Talk Network.
And welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. This is Megan Barth. You're listening to The Heat on the Michigan Talk Network. And I wanted to get local with you right away. I want to wake you up a little bit. I always call myself the Paul Revere, ringing the bell at any time of the day to make sure that our activists out there and our country-loving patriots are ready to roll when it comes November 2020. You got some work to do there in Michigan because Rashida Tlaib, Representative Rashida Tlaib, palling around with people that pal around with Palestinian terrorists. And as I was talking about in the last segment, BDS, which stands for Boycott, Divest, and Sanction, it's the BDS movement, Boycott, Divest, and Sanction. They aim to politically and economically isolate Israel. They're palling around with another group called Samadoun, S-A-M-I-D-O-U-N. And that didn't seem to really bother Rashida Tlaib because she was way too busy going out of her way to make sure that she was getting photos with some of these people involved in these organizations at a variety of political events, Muslim events around various areas in this country, perhaps Michigan, it doesn't say. But despite all the closeness that BDS and Samadoun has with Palestinian terrorist organizations that our State Department has called out, they've made their way into the progressive politics. Progressive politics, yes, otherwise known as totalitarian politics, socialist politics, Marxist politics, communist politics, whatever you want to call it. But the Democrats like to euphemize their totalitarianism, so they refer to it as progressive politics. So this progressive activist group, People for the American Way, partnered with Samadoun for a November 2017 event. And Democratic rep from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib, met with Samadoun's U.S. coordinator, Joe Catrone, at an event in April in Washington, D.C. The congresswoman met Catrone during an event organized by American Muslims for Palestine, AMP. Another BDS supporting group with ties to extremists. Imagine that. You know, I guess, you know, I don't know any Palestinian terrorist groups, don't know any members of those groups. Don't get my picture taken. I'm a public figure. I go out quite a bit. I'm at political events. Usually those events do not center around the anti-Semitic rantings of Rashida Tlaib. That we don't call for Israel to be wiped off the map. But maybe I'm just hanging around the wrong people. I don't know. But Tlaib, she's an outward, outspoken BDS supporter and has repeatedly faced scrutiny over her ties to anti-Israel radicals. Well, scrutiny is one thing. Censuring her and getting her the hell out of Congress is another thing. She faced backlash in January after questioning whether Republicans who support anti-BDS legislation forgot what country they represent. And see, this is the thing. We are a country that protects all faiths and all religions. Of course, if you're a Christian, you're targeted. You can get away with a lot by targeting Christians because that's not hate speech, according to our tech overlords and the Democrat Party. So they can spew all the anti-Semitism they want, and it is protected speech. We are a free speech country. Last time I checked, we're getting awfully close to going back to 1984 with the dystopian and Orwellian censorship that's going on. We'll touch on that later. But supposedly Republicans forgot what country they represent. Well, when you're calling for the destruction of Israel, you kind of cross the line. This Catrone cat, who again is the U.S. coordinator for the Samadoun organization who has ties to Palestinian terrorist organizations, he's very supportive, very, very supportive of the PFLP terrorists on social media. Oh, see, now social media, I love social media because social media never goes away. There's always an electronic footprint that if in case you need to throw something in someone's face, you can find their Twitter page or find their Facebook page, and I'll bet your bottom dollar they wrote something stupid. I know I have. But he's supportive of PFLP terrorists on social media. His cover photo on both of his personal Twitter and Facebook accounts is a montage of a PFLP fighter donned in the organization's official logo, as well as rockets and soldiers pointed towards a target over the state of Israel. The photo also displays an Arabic phrase that translates to, "If you do more attacks on Gaza, we will do more as well. Hell is waiting for you." which is attributed to Mohammed Deif, I believe, the supreme military commander of Hamas's military wing. In 2014, Catrone participated in a press conference along some name I can't pronounce, the head of the Hamas-run security forces in Gaza. The press conference was held to allegedly support Palestinian prisoners. AMP, the BDS organization that facilitated the Catrone-Tlaib meeting, has its own links to Palestinian extremists. AMP has its organizational roots in the Islamic Association of Palestine, an anti-Semitic group that served as the main propaganda arm for Hamas in the United States until it was dissolved in 2004. And that's according to the Anti-Defamation League. So this was dissolved in 2004, but they're awfully active. They're awfully active under maybe a variety of different aliases, or perhaps through your Michigan State Rep, Rashida Tlaib. Who knows? We'll find out. It's not hard. Since its creation in 2005, AMP continues to work closely with some former AIP leaders who currently hold positions as AMP board members. A former Hamas operative, Salah Sassour, who was jailed in Israel in the 1990s because of his alleged work for the terrorist group, is also a member of AMP's national board. So if you go to the Daily Caller, actually, if you go to my website, it'll be much easier, ReaganBabe.com, you will see this article that I just briefed you on in a couple segments, and it is mind-blowingly eye-opening, because it seems as though the Democrat Party has turned into a party of anti-Semites, because they are protecting and allowing this type of vitriolic and violent vitriolic behavior from two of their most outspoken junior representatives. The article is entitled Inside the Ties Between Anti-Israel BDS Groups and Palestinian Terrorist Organizations. You can find that article, Rashida Tlaib Pals Around with Palestinian Terrorists, on ReaganBabe.com. I don't know, I suggest you print it out and save it, and maybe next time she comes to town, you might ask her some questions. However, and I would, if I lived in Michigan, I'd be following her around like a dog. But you know who else followed Rashida Tlaib, you know who followed around Ilhan Omar and was trying to, you know, basically wave the red flag around the other anti-Semite in the Democrat Party, Ilhan Omar, was Laura Loomer. And Laura Loomer was, she's been banned by Twitter. She has been banned by Facebook. She has been banned by Instagram. She has been banned by Uber. She's been banned by Teespring. So her whole entire life has been nearly ruined because she spoke out against Sharia law. Because she got up in Ilhan Omar's face before she was elected and was asking her questions to denounce Hamas. Laura Loomer also uncovered the fact that Ilhan Omar committed immigration fraud when she married her brother, I guess so her brother could become a citizen. So the whole point of this is not only to wake you up as to what Rashida Tlaib is up to, but to also make you realize that the Democrats aren't only harboring, endorsing, and electing anti-Semites, but they're also trying to purge voices like mine that will wake you up to this type of behavior and these types of actions and these types of associations that are being taken by elected Congress people. Who thought in a million years we would have a woman or two women asking for the destruction of Israel or associating with those that want to wipe Israel off the map? But here we are, and we're here because of the Democrat Party, and I'll be right back. Dr. Dre be the name,
still running. The Heat with Megan Barth on the Michigan Talk Network.
All right, we're back. This is Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com. I encourage you to go over to ReaganBabe.com. You can find all of the articles that I will share with you today. Because as I'm going through this whole week, and I've missed you, I've been gone for a week, I've posted a couple articles on Rashida Tlaib, one that I got to in segments one and two. And in case you missed it, you can always go to my website, grab the podcast of this. You are listening to the Michigan Talk Network. And I was talking about how Rashida Tlaib is seemingly happy to pose with people and groups that have ties to Palestinian terrorist organizations that the U.S. State Department has listed and designated as terrorist organizations. But also I found this other article that I wanted to read with you specifically, and it's on ReaganBabe.com. And it comes from the Daily Wire. Rashida Tlaib's father says she lied big time to get elected in resurfaced 2010 newspaper. This is from Ryan Saavedra. In a March 2, and I'm terrible with names. I am just, if Ryan, if you're listening, anybody else, I'm very sorry. But Ryan Saavedra. In a March 11, 2010 newspaper article in the Detroit News, Rep. Rashida Tlaib's father accused her of lying big time to get elected by falsifying her address on an election affidavit. Tlaib's father, Harbi Elabed, made the accusations against Tlaib, who at the time was a freshman state-level representative from the 12th District in Detroit's Southwest Side. The newspaper article was scrubbed from the internet when the Detroit News migrated to a new website, but was available in a subscription-based digital archive, the Detroit News reported. He said his daughter misrepresented her residency when she signed an election affidavit in 2008 with the Wayne County Clerk claiming she was a citizen of Detroit. According to that affidavit, Tlaib claims she lived at X address in Detroit. That house is owned in part by her father. And he now says she did not live there, and he was only recently made aware that she had claimed so. She lied, Elabed said. She lied big time to get elected. I never teach her that way. I teach her the right way. It's my house. She didn't live there. She lived in Dearborn in her house with her husband and boy. The Detroit News continued, Dearborn is not a part of the 12th House District that Tlaib was elected to represent. Residency issues are very difficult to prove. To become a candidate, you must be a registered and qualified elector of that district, according to state law. That means you must have your primary residence, the address on your driver's license, and where you are registered to vote, in that district. There is no law, however, according to state election officials, saying that a person must spend any particular number of days, weeks, or months at a certain location. Perjury is an offense punishable up to 5 years in prison and a $1,000 fine. Tlaib even admitted at the time that accusations against her caused problems for her, saying, people have questioned that a lot, but never my father, and I'm sad about that. The point is I complied with the law. I moved into the district before I filed, period. The Detroit News added, according to property and tax records, Tlaib lived in a house on Tireman in Dearborn that her husband purchased a decade ago. Taxes were paid on that house in 2009 with her husband claiming it as his primary residence. But in 2008, as Tlaib was preparing for a run for the seat, she said she separated from her husband and moved into her father's house with her two brothers. Tlaib said she had bills to prove where she lived, but it does not appear that she has ever provided those bills to the newspaper to validate her claims. Tlaib's father said that he came forward with the allegation because it was part of a growing litany of transgressions that his daughter committed upon him, culminating in a dispute about care of his aged mother, who suffers from dementia, adding that Tlaib sided against him and in favor of his nephew in a battle of custody, a complete breach of family values. My sons told me blood is thicker than water and I should keep my mouth shut, so I did, Elabed said. Then she crossed the line with her father, when she interferes in the father's business, when she shows him no respect. This life in politics has changed her. Tlaib ended up reconciling with her husband and moved next door to her father. It's not surprising that he did this to me. It's not. He was abusive to me as a girl, and he's angry at me about my grandmother, Tlaib claimed. I know he's proud of what I've accomplished, but he's also vindictive. It's all very embarrassing. What do they say? You can't choose your family? Well, you can't choose your family, Rashida, but you certainly could produce the documents and evidence that proves that you lived where you say you lived when you signed your election papers. I mean, aren't the Democrats all about transparency? I mean, isn't this what we've now been witness to for the past month, which quite frankly, I'm tired of talking about because we've been talking about it for 2.5 years of this Russian collusion delusion. And now because 100% of the Mueller report was not made available so they could leak out, they could create an enemies list of the grand jury parts that were redacted. So they can't create an enemies list, and they can't make sure they leak, because Democrats leak like Comey to the press. They held Barr in contempt. Yawn. So these Democrats are all about transparency. We need to see all of the Mueller report. Yes, we know we haven't read any of it. We know that there was no Russian collusion, but we believe there was Russian collusion. We know what Mueller said, but we still need to push that narrative because we have nothing else to talk about. Nothing. When you look across the spectrum of candidates running, I think there's 24 now, maybe 25. I think Bill de Blasio is going to throw in his socialist fez in a little bit. Maybe it's the Che Beret. Is it the Che Beret? I'm not really sure. There's a socialist hat. But anyway, his hammer and sickle hasn't entered the race yet. But they've got plenty of them. It's like, who can be more Stalinesque? It's the fight between the Democrats right now. Who can be more Stalinesque? Who can be more anti-Semitic? Who can eat the rich the fastest? Who can raise taxes the fastest? Who can confiscate guns the fastest? Who can hate on America the loudest? And it seems to me like the Democrats have a very good broad cross-section of people that will fulfill their dream to fundamentally transform this country. But all the Democrats have is hate. That's all they got. Because the leader of that clown car is the main bozo, and that would be Biden. And Biden said the other day that we as American citizens have an obligation to pay for the health care of illegal aliens. Did you hear that, Michigan? Want to make sure that this mic's on. You, hardworking people in Michigan, have an obligation to pay for criminals who have no legal right to be here. So not only do you have to put the food on the table for your family and your children and take care of their health care, you have to take care, according to Joe Biden, of the illegal aliens that have purposely and knowingly broken our laws and that have taken a safe space or refuge in the nearest sanctuary city near you. And it's all democratically controlled. Yes, Joe Biden. That was one of the very few things I've heard Joe Biden say that I understood, because he didn't slur his words. So what we know about the Democrat Party so far is not only do they have a very strong anti-Semitic socialist streak coursing through their blue veins, but they want to make sure that the fundamental transformation of this country comes through open borders. And by fundamental transformation of this country, I mean socialism. Yes, we can all say the word. We can even say communism and Marxism, because that's what progressivism is. So without ever having to fire a shot, without ever having to draw blood, the quickest way they can make sure that this country turns into a third world hellhole with sanctuary cities all over the place and non-English speaking people and assimilated people that don't want to assimilate to our culture, much like Ilhan Omar's district, which is the terrorist breeding ground of the United States. Isn't that comforting to know? Yes, the quickest way to fundamentally transform this country into a third world hellhole is to break records at the border. And unfortunately, in April, we broke records. I'll get back to those stats and more, because you're going to be responsible for these people, folks. If you elect Biden, you're going to have to pay for all these people's health care. Hang on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now back to the heat with Megan Barth.
Welcome back, and thank you for not turning that dial. This is Megan Barth with ReaganBabe.com, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Heat on the Michigan Talk Network. You can find my website, ReaganBabe.com, and all of the stories I've been talking to you about today, specifically about Rashida Tlaib. Geez, she took up three segments. The more information I find on Rashida Tlaib and other things going on in the local politics in Michigan, I will be sure and share with you here, because as I said at the top of the hour, all politics is local, and folks, there's a lot of noise and a lot of hot air and a lot of anger coming out of D.C., but that is a deflection. You gotta keep on what's going on in Michigan. You gotta stay on top of it. You gotta know who's on your school boards. You gotta know who's in your city council. And you gotta make sure that anti-Semites that pal around with Palestinian terrorist organizations and sympathizers aren't sitting in the in the U.S. House. Specifically Rashida Tlaib out of Michigan. Hopefully you guys can bounce her back to Palestine that she so loves and the Hamas-led Palestinian organization that she pals around with. But back to Joe Biden, Bozo Joe. Sleepy Creepy Joe is the new moniker given to him by President Trump. So Sleepy Creepy Joe says to a reporter in California, who's nearly bankrupt because they have the largest population of people who have no legal right to be here, which would otherwise be known as illegal aliens. Sleepy Creepy Joe thinks that you in Michigan as a citizen and every American citizen has an obligation to take care of illegal aliens' health care. And then, of course, it's not only their health care, it's their food. And then it's their hospitalization and it's their incarceration if they wind up in the pokey. Nancy Pelosi, I mean, my God, she'll jail anybody. The Democrats want to jail everybody, including Don Jr., anybody in the administration, but they certainly don't want to jail illegal aliens for breaking our laws. Oh, hell no, because those illegal aliens will give them more power because Joe has promised us that if he is elected president, we will be forced to pay for all of the people that have absolutely no legal right to be here. So what do those numbers look like? Well, let me share this with you, Michigan. Daily reminder. This comes from the Gateway Pundit. You can also find this on ReaganBabe.com. Daily reminder. Obama appointed Judge Dolly M. Gee, and Democrats responsible for 460,294 illegals storming the border this year. U.S. Border Patrol Chief Carla Provost recently told Congress, "Our apprehension numbers are off the charts. As of April 30th, we have apprehended 460,294 people on the southern border. In the last week, we had our highest single day, over 5,200 apprehensions. Over 1 million illegals are expected to flood into the United States this year. Crossing by families hit a record high. More than 53,000 of the 103,000 were in family units. America can thank Obama-appointed Judge Dolly M. Gee, for this historic crisis at the southern border." Back in July 2018, Judge Dolly, ruled that illegal alien children could not be held by the government for longer than 20 days. Judge Dolly makes the laws in this country. Since then, the word spread like wildfire, obviously, that if you cross the U.S. border with children, you are here to stay. And this year, the U.S. is expecting 1 million illegal crossings at the southern border, of course, many with children. No country can survive with such a consistent influx of unskilled and government-dependent foreigners. But Judge Dolly doesn't care. She makes the rules around here. And it ends, "Thank you, Madam President Gee, for screwing the American people." Now, we should expect 1 million illegals, but we apprehended 52 apprehensions in one day, but to date, April 30th, Border Patrol has apprehended 460,294 people on the southern border. And the question always remains, which I always ask if you've been listening on this program, as I do believe illegal immigration will be one, if not the top issue of this election, because it should be. You know, the Democrats always talk about sustainability. It must be sustainability. Well, how are we supposed to sustain this type of invasion financially? There are reports we spend already $136 billion, $160 billion a year, depending on what reports you look at, for the quote unquote 11 to 12 million illegal aliens that reside in this country. Now, I've been hearing 11 and 12 million for about, a decade. So I think it's probably double that. So how many haven't we caught, folks? That is the question. And the Pentagon yesterday on Friday just appropriated another $2 billion to our border. So this invasion's getting quite expensive. So again, where's the sustainability? And these invaders, 460,000 of them have been apprehended since the beginning of this year. So in 4 months, it's about, what, 100,000, 100 and, let's see, 450, about 115,000 a month. How many haven't we caught? How many illegal aliens haven't we caught? How many crossed successfully without getting caught? How many drugs have poured in? While the Border Patrol is acting like nannies and acting like ferry services and acting like escorts at our border, caretakers, they're not doing really the job they're supposed to do, which is not only protect the border, but stop the flow of drugs. So when they're distracted, okay, and they're fetching illegal aliens out of the Rio Grande River because they know if they swim across and get in distress that they'll be picked up and immediately processed. So, I mean, if I was an illegal alien coming from Honduras, I'd make sure I wore a pair of, you know, a bikini or a swimsuit because I would be knowing that I'm going to get wet. Because if I get wet, I'm going to the nearest air-conditioned facility with three squares, basketball court, some games, some clothing, some medical care, the best care in the world. So Judge Gee, who looks like an immigrant herself, looks like a man, quite frankly, but she's not. She might be. Maybe she'll want to change someday. Maybe we'll call her Don Gee. She is basically holding all the cards. And I really don't understand where the politicians are, specifically the Republican politicians. Where are you? What are you doing, Mitch McConnell? Other than letting Senator Burr, like Bone, is it Burr? Yeah, Senator Burr, want to drag or subpoena Don Jr. to talk to him more about Russian collusion that doesn't exist. You know, Senator McConnell could absolutely torpedo that subpoena. He could remove Burr, from the committee chair. Easy. Take him out. But Mitch McConnell is not acting like, you know, the cocaine Mitch that he claims to be, the grim reaper of socialism that he claims to be. Because this is the fight. This is the fight for 2020. You and I in this together. Even though I'm in Vegas, we're all in this together. We see what's happening to our country. We see what's happening to our inner cities run by Democrats. We see what's happening to our border. We see the 20 or so Democrats that are trying to out-progressive each other. Who can spend more of our money? Who can raise taxes faster? Elizabeth Warren. You can find this at ReaganBabe.com. Elizabeth Warren unveils five proposals which will cost taxpayers $129 billion. Now, do any of those proposals have something to do with the border? Of course not. Because after Elizabeth Warren blows through $129 billion or trillion, is it trillion? Trillion. Why not? Just make a trillion. What comes after a trillion? I think we're going to find out pretty soon. But after Elizabeth Warren blows through $129 trillion of other people's money, because that's what socialists do, she's going to need three times that amount if we have illegal aliens penetrating our borders at the rate we have them now. Because the Democrat Party is about open borders. Have you heard anything about border security coming from any of these candidates? No, you haven't. So instead of really listening to what they say, see what they're not saying. And that'll tell you a lot about where they stand on the most important issue of 2020. They're certainly not going to give Donald Trump props on the best economy since 1959, because then they would have to admit he's actually doing a good job. They're certainly not going to build the wall, because walls are immoral. So what are they really proposing? Well, maybe by next Saturday, we'll all have a clue, and I'll clue you in, because we got to go. But I want you to have a wonderful weekend, and happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there. This is Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com. See you next Saturday.